This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Clock. Nice job, Eddie Scazzera. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, on the Fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports. We've got a great show for you today. As the New York Yankees, three home runs, a questionable overturn call at first base, great pitching, and they take another game against the Kansas City Royals. Mets, it's Matt Harvey night at Citi Field tonight. First home game since the nonsense. Plus a lot more, good and bad, in between. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Doing well. You know, the New York Yankees now have won two in a row. The Baltimore Orioles have lost two in a row. So,
and the Orioles had a 5-0 lead early and blew it.
I'm going to say this. You know, it's funny. You read the papers around here, and look, we're all the same. We all go high. We all go low. We all, you know, we very rarely are we ever in between. And that's why managers, general managers, can't overreact to media speculation, media hysteria, fan hysteria, screaming and yelling about players. Get rid of this guy. He sucks. He gets hurt too much. And the reason I say that is because there's two featured, one real featured player today in one of the newspapers. And the other one just hit another home run last night and is attacking the ball as he's raking for the New York Yankees. And those two players happen to be Michael Conforto of the New York Mets and Brett Gardner of the New York Yankees. And, you know, remember last year? I mean, people were tired of Brett Gardner.
They tried to trade him.
You know, nobody thought that Michael Conforto would even start with the Mets this year after a disastrous last year. But you stick with a young player. He has the right work ethic. He has the right understanding of who he is in the body of the team. He understands what it takes to be on the field. And I'm sure this past offseason for both Gardner and Conforto were probably pretty long, because I'm sure that they heard a lot of negative things about themselves. So at least, you know, here we are.
And at the end of the day, they love New York. They want to be in New York.
Yeah, they want to be here. They don't want to be anywhere else. And, you know, they're good teammates.
Right.
They're both. And I always laugh at, like, you Yankee fans always getting on Brett Gardner. He stinks. He's not a leadoff hitter. He doesn't run well. He can't play. I mean, like, come on, guy is a really good ball player.
Now, most Yankee fans love Gardner.
I'm not saying that he's the next coming of Pete Rose, but he may be the closest thing to Pete Rose.
He's been a really, really good Yankee.
I mean, my God.
And he leads the league in runs right now. He's having a great first quarter of the season.
And I love it. You know, I actually love it, man, when players come back and they do what these two players are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just...
It's nice to see it, especially...
And both of them are as humble as humble can be.
It's great seeing it, the way, like, Chase Headley started, the way Bruce started for the Mets this year, because it's happening under the glare of New York. We're ready to pounce as soon as something doesn't go our way, under the specter of, like, a Matt Harvey situation, Syndergaard, et cetera.
I've experienced both, all right? I experienced the player here. I've experienced my entire life being a fan of certain teams here. So I kind of understand both sides of it. I understand it when it's going well. I understand when it goes bad, both as a player and as a fan. And I'm just happy to see two guys like Brett Gardner and Michael Conforto doing really well. I really am.
Yep.
Because they were under the negativity microscope last year. People were all over them. You know, but yet, I would imagine that the management of both teams and the managers of said teams probably said, you know what? These guys are really good locker room guys.
Yeah.
They're good, solid baseball players. They'll figure it out, and they'll come back, and both of them are having what I would say renaissance season, maybe for Gardner.
Conforto's
you could say
so
that.
Young.
Conforto's young, and he's getting his career re-kickstarted, I guess you would say.
Yeah, the Yankees got the benefit of a crazy. It was a bang-bang play at first base. Could have not been overturned. If it's not overturned, it's a tie game. They overturn it, becomes a third out of the inning, and then the bullpen was just money good last night. So they win again. They kind of own the Royals right now. Big night tonight, though, I think, for the Mets and Matt Harvey. First game at home since all the craziness. He has pitched better, but not great. And the question now is, you're a diehard Met fan. Let's say you happen to go to tonight's game. There won't be a great crowd. How's he received, you think, when he's first introduced? Could be some booze, right?
I don't know, but he's pitching against the worst offensive team in the National League.
This is the game Matt Harvey's got to dominate.
I mean, come on.
Right? Wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would.
By the way, five innings and three runs ain't good enough tonight.
So the Yankees are going to beat up on the Royals. You know, the Mets need to beat up on this on the worst offensive team in baseball.
But Matt Harvey can't give you a five-inning performance.
You know what? It seems like starting pitching anymore is five innings, three runs, and we'll take it.
Right, and go to the bullpen and hope they get the job done.
You know, you're right. It is time for Matt Harvey to put a Jacob DeGrom up there.
And I'll tell you why.
Just go seven innings, man. And you know what? The other thing I'd like to see, literally from the Mets, is I'd like to see quality pitching, smart plays on defense in the field, because I'm a fan, right?
Right.
And timely hitting. I mean, those are the three things that the Yankees have been getting.
Yankees are getting in spades right now, which are one or the other, two out of three, whatever it might be. Tonight, though, I think is, as a fan, I'm a little tired of hearing, boy, I felt great. I really felt great. That's the best I felt
in
2 years.
Then go out there and feel great and pitch great.
If you really feel great and you've now said, I do buy this, it's no longer physical, well, then five innings, four, five, six runs, ain't good enough. 100 pitches after four innings ain't good enough. If you feel great, and they think they figured out what your problem is, and I don't buy into it. But they're claiming that his hand release was 6 inches higher than it. Boom, go out there if you know what it is, and you guys have isolated it. No more bull crap. Go out there and kick some ass and beat San Diego.
The farther he gets away from his mallet, injuries, recurring from. You know, all these different surgeries, the better he'll be. And, and I just think that he said now the last 2 weeks, the last two times out, the ball's come out of my hand good. I feel good.
Feeling great.
So go out there and do it.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
It's a loaded question because he's really done nothing wrong. I want to set that up in advance. There are agreements. There are contracts. There are understandings. There is the word voluntary. Then there's the word mandatory. Those two words clearly contradict one another, right?
Right.
So the New York Giants, like every team around this time of year, have voluntary off-season programs called
OTAs.
OTAs, all right? Most guys, not every guy, but the far majority of guys attend the OTAs. Now, some may not be on the field, but they're there to be with the guys, working out, whatever it might be.
Rehabbing,
they show up.
Could be whatever.
Typically, your franchise players set the tone for the season by showing up early to show everyone else, hey, we're all in, I'm here, you should be here, let's get back to playing some football. Eli Manning was at the New York Giants OTA yesterday.
Yo, you think?
All right, now this is a voluntary practice. You do not have to be there,
right?
But you should be there.
Okay.
Now, Odell Beckham Jr. did not show up.
He also didn't show up at the Manning passing camp at Duke either.
He did not go to the Manning passing camp either. He did say earlier this year, Boomer, he's going to be working harder than ever. He's all in, and he's ready to kick some ass. Now, here's the problem with it.
Guess what? When it comes time for a new contract, he'll be omnipresent.
It'll be little things like this, though, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
They are voluntary. So, okay, you ain't got to be there. But here's the problem. The problem is today, or yesterday rather, really for me, and I think you'd have to, you tell me as a player, it's kind of like the unofficial day one. It's like your spring training in a way. Guys get back together, maybe haven't seen each other, and you start the process for let's start working towards our goal. And for them, it's Super Bowl.
At the end of the day, you know what? Nobody's going to give a damn about this opening day against the Cowboys. All they're going to care about is whether or not he has his 10 catches and his miraculous plays and be the player that, you know, everybody wants him to be. Now, he's ahead of Jerry Rice in his first 3 years.
But don't you?
He's an unbelievable player, but he obviously does not have the gene that Jerry Rice had. Now, we did not have OTAs. We had mini camps and things like that back when we were playing, so things may be a little bit different, but I think these OTAs are really a great thing for a team to come together. This is where you first start to come together as a team. This is where you start to see some of your new teammates, your draft picks, your free agent signings.
Brandon Marshall was there.
Yeah. There's all the reason to be there. There's every reason in the world for every New York Giant to be present at these OTAs. Now, Odell Beckham is, I'm going to tell you what he is. He's a go against the grain guy. He is a great player. He is an unstoppable player, but he is a royal pain in the ass, is what he is.
Right.
And that pain in the ass is to Jerry Reese, is to Ben McAdoo, it's to Eli Manning, it's to, you know, anybody he plays with. It just basically probably roll their eyes at him, but they also look at him and say, oh my God, this guy is a great, great football player. Now, I'm assuming wherever he is not something that, like, hey, my mom's sick, I have a death in the family,
right?
You know, there's some other major thing in his life, because I haven't seen anything like that. Nobody, you know, because if that were the case, you'd probably hear that.
Hey, I think you would have heard it for sure.
Odell may miss the first couple of days because he's, you know, attending to a funeral. He's got a family problem or something.
Right.
You would have heard that, but we have not heard that. So it makes you wonder, you know, is he off shooting a commercial somewhere? Is he, you know, is he doing a, you know, photo
shoot
somewhere?
He was on Twitter telling people to watch Dancing with the Stars to promote, you know, obviously a former Giant, Rashad Jennings.
Okay, well,
so he's,
I mean,
he's engaging people is my point on that.
He could be working out down in Miami.
By the way, I'm sure, I don't question him being in shape.
I'm just also going to say this, and I don't know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of different reasons why a player of his ilk would not be here on day one. You know, it also could be something of I can't be in New Jersey for 6 months because of taxes. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't
know.
He's
got to count the days.
I just know he's the one guy people are waiting to see and you know, be, you know, a veteran, a mature guy.
It's not great. You know, if you're a Giant fan,
he's not doing it yet.
You know what? If you're a Giant fan, and I, you know, my Giant fans that I know
care or don't care?
Care a whole hell of a lot that he's not there.
To the point where it's a topic of conversation,
you know what,
right?
Let's face it. Let's just kind of talk about how the Giant fan sees themselves.
Sure.
How do they see themselves in the pantheon of history of the NFL?
Well, much more sophisticated than Jet fans and winners.
They are a foundation franchise.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the great Wellington Mara, the NFL as we know it today would not exist.
Correct.
He was a very unselfish guy. He shared the wealth with other owners at the beginning of the you know, of the NFL, and basically was the single biggest reason that the NFL is as successful as it is today because of the way he saw the whole thing.
Right.
So if you are a Giant fan and you are attached to that history and that legacy, how do you feel about your team? You love your team. You love the Giants. The Giants do it a certain way. That's why, you know, we had Tom Coughlin here. That's why we won two Super Bowls. That's why we've beaten the Patriots twice. There's a level of pride being associated with that franchise. Am I right or am I wrong?
100% correct.
Right. So when this guy does not show up, the Giant fan who is a part of that legacy, who believes in that team, and who believes that this year will be a team, or they have a team this year that could get to the playoffs, my Giant fans are like, who the hell does this guy think he is?
Right.
But at the end of the day, they'll all be rooting for him.
Nine catches, three touchdowns, 143 yards.
Right.
Him missing voluntary OTA, I don't mean squat, but it's the image of it. And he'll be under a microscope more than any athlete in this town, but it's because he's so damn good.
But it's also, it comes on the heels of the other things that have gone on with him since he's been here.
Right.
And we've detailed those things here. Not showing up on time, not showing up at all, not doing, you know,
for appearances in camps and whatnot.
Right, there's a lot of little different things that this young man has yet to figure out. He seems to be really with it when he's on Twitter and when he's given interviews. So it's not like he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Right.
He knows what's going on. He knows, and even he apologized for going to the boat ride before the Packer playoff game.
Right.
He knows what's happening.
He's aware.
That's why he's a go against the grain guy. He's a guy that knows what he's doing. And maybe some of this stuff is on purpose, because I don't think he's all that flighty. I just think that You know, he's just doing it for whatever. You want to call attention to yourself? Then this is a way to do it.
Well, listen, he's a me kind of guy. But like you say, when he's on the field, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that you're not starting off this season or preseason the way you promised you were going to when last season ended. I guarantee he's in great shape. I think he's a gym rat for sure. He'll come in the ready to go, no doubt about it. And it'll be a circus when he gets here. And he's the best player they got. But he's also a guy that's very well aware of his social media and has a very healthy sense of self-worth. You know, he posted articles on his website all the time from other people that write how great he is. There's rarely ever anything negative about it, but of course it's also his website. So if you're a Giant fan, it's a small little story today. Now they have another OTA today. They're off on Wednesday, and they have a third practice on Thursday. Does he show up at all this week?
You know what? Actually, part of it's not all that hard. It's just kind of a little bit of a refresher course, getting to know your new teammates, hanging out, working out. They make lunch for you. They make breakfast for you.
It's just like getting together.
It's a first-class organization. You go out in the field for about an hour, and you play around a little bit.
Right.
I think it's just a bad look. At the end of the day, it's just a bad look. It's not going to impact him just yet. But I know one thing. You know, if he goes off and has a great year, he's going to be bitching and complaining about a new contract. And he's going to want to be the highest paid receiver in football, which he probably should be. But you'd like to think that if you're going to invest money into somebody, you'd like them to be a freaking leader. You'd like them to be mature. You'd like them to be here and be a part of things so they can set the tone for what everybody hopes to be a great year for the Giants.
Now, I have to bring up one issue, and you're going to be mad at me for bringing it up. And that's the way it goes. I would not be me or doing my job if I didn't bring it up. All right.
Why would I be mad at you?
Well, because sometimes, and I'm mad at myself because it's the kind of thing you like to put your head in the sand and not have to deal with, but you have to deal with it because it changes how you live your life, potentially, okay? Last night, there's this terrible story that at the end of an Ariana Grande concert, she's a pop star, for those who don't know who she is, a flat-out act of terrorism, a suicide bomber, winds up going into the building in Manchester, and 22 people lose their lives. Another 50 or so are injured, and they're calling it a nail bomb attached to this jackass. And
bearings and nails.
You can imagine the scene there if you haven't seen it yet in Manchester, England. And I bring it up because, you feel for all the families and the people that were injured and, of course, lost their lives at a concert event, which is essentially 90% teenage kids watching their favorite pop stars sing and dance, and then it ends the way it ended. And I bring it up because, here in New York City, whether it's Prudential Center, The Garden, Barclays, Nassau, MetLife, Citi Field, Yankee Stadium,
Penn Station,
in the course of a week,
Grand Central Station.
I'm taking this from events. In the course of a week, any random week in New York, you could have minimum 500,000 people gathered in an arena or a stadium trying to watch a ball game or a concert. And when you see something like that, I have kids younger than yours, but you have kids that, I'm sure enjoy going to concerts and things like that. You see it, you say to yourself, at what point do I not let them go? The old notion's always been, we're not going to let them beat us. We're going to live our lives the way we live our lives. And in theory, kind of throw that caution to the wind. But here's, 15,000 kids at a concert. Concert's over. They're getting ready to leave. And tragedy strikes. And then you have to take stock. Are you going to go to the football game? Are you going to go to a baseball game? Are you going to let your kids
alone
to a concert?
Yes.
Well, it's something you have to have a conversation about.
Well, I think you have to have a conversation about it, but the unfortunate thing about this is that there were a lot of kids without parents at this venue. So
sure. If
you follow the Twitter stream around this heinous act, you realize just how worried parents really were as to whether or not they could find their kid or whether or not their kid was right there close to the blast. There was a Holiday Inn that was relatively close to this arena, and there were about 65, 70 kids that ended up being collected and taken to the Holiday Inn so parents could find their kids.
Sure.
But I don't blame you for bringing it up because it is a worldwide story and it's a worldwide problem and it continues to fester. I don't know the answer for it. I'm not smart enough to understand the answer for it. I don't even want to get into the political aspects of all this stuff. All I know is that there are 22 families that lost loved ones, I'm assuming, and there are many others that are going to be injured for life and scarred for life mentally from something like this. So just like if you were standing on, you know, on the street the other day and a car goes past you speeding the wrong way and taking people out in front of you, you're going to be hit with that. And I don't know, it's just your heart breaks and you see the faces of the victims and you wonder what in the world is going on.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring it up because it happened. We're not going to pretend like it didn't. We'll get into it as you want to or need to throughout the day. It dawns on you. You know, listen, like, you know, you might be going to the Met game tonight, and you might be going to this event or that event, and when you hear something like that happen, you know, how could it not be in the back of your mind, right?
I know one thing. You can't stick your head in the sand about it, and that's one of the reasons why I think you brought it up this morning, because it obviously touches all of us.
So. Yeah, I mean, I have kids that are in that world now where they want to go see.
We all have family members and friends that go to these things, and hell, I go to Ranger games. I'm just telling you, with Penn Station and Grand Central Station, as crowded as those places are, I mean, you just pray to God. And I know the police force and the terror force and everybody else is working their ass off to keep us safe. And so far, they've done an amazing job since 9/11. And hopefully that continues. And nobody, and we as citizens of this great city, should never, ever take anything for granted and never forget what happened on 9/11.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.